Proverbs chapter 4, I'm just going to look at some of the words in that chapter. If you read chapter 4, the word instruction in verse 1 and understanding. Verse 2, doctrine and law. Verse 4, keep my commandments, retain my words, keep my commandments. Verse 5 says wisdom, understanding. These are the verses we read. Get wisdom, get understanding. Forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. Forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. With all thy getting, get understanding. And then again, down in verse 11, wisdom. And I have led thee in right paths. Verse 12, when thou goest, thy steps shall not be straightened or distressed, and when thou runnest, thou shalt not stumble. And then verse 13, again, that word, take fast hold of instruction. And I was trying to make this a little bit of a Bible study because there uses these words over and over again. And sometimes when I try to teach the younger kids, talking about wisdom, knowledge, understanding, instruction, it can be a little bit confusing, and it's a little bit confusing for me tonight to explain it because when we look at the meaning, they kind of overlap, and it's kind of, for instance, instruction is warning, chastisement, correction. Doctrine is something that you've received, to take it and use it to win someone. If you'd say, I've indoctrinated someone, that means you've got them to understand and agree with you. The law, of course, talks about the first five books of the Bible. It also means that someone shows you how to do something. If someone is a good lawyer, they can show you how the law is in their favor. They walk you through the steps. The actual root word means to throw or to shoot, like an archer shoots an arrow and says, I'm aiming for that target, and I'll show you where that target is. If you follow my arrow, the arrow will land where the law will take you. And that word to shoot or to throw through, to take someone through the steps of the law, and as God did for his people, for the children of Israel. That word wisdom, to have a skill, to be skillful, to have a desire to make yourself and others more wise, to lead someone in the path. The Bible talked about the path. If you go out in the woods and you find a path that someone has been down, more than one person has been through that path, or there wouldn't be a path there. And that idea of wisdom, to show someone the steps of wisdom, the way of wisdom, as it says in Proverbs. And then the word understanding, to acquire knowledge, to separate, to discern, and regard, to view wisely. An example would be if I look at a car, there's a limit to how much understanding I have about, I know it's a car. I know it has tires. I know there's probably an engine in under there somewhere, and it probably takes gas, I hope, if I'm at the gas station. But that's the limit of my understanding. So my view of an automobile is very limited compared to someone that can take it apart, put it back together, change all the parts and pieces, and make it run again. My understanding is limited in that area. But I need to understand what the words mean in order to teach it to others. And tonight I was going to talk about that subject, don't forget to get it. In verse 7 it says, with all thy getting, get understanding. Talking about the things that you acquire in life, the things that you pick up. It that we're talking about, wisdom, the law, understanding, knowledge, correction, instruction, that could include, of course, could include our salvation. The death, the burial, the resurrection of our Savior, Jesus Christ, the home he's preparing for us in heaven. If we trusted in him, if we trusted in the act, what he's already done for us on our behalf, his substitutionary death and what he has done, the shedding of his blood, so we could have the forgiveness of our sin. And that means our salvation, what we're trusting in to get us to heaven, our sure hope, the purpose that we have as a church, the purpose that we have as a Christian. That is all of contained in the wisdom that we're given from the Word of God, the instruction that we're given from those that are here to teach us, and the correction and the doctrine and the things that we have to be pointed out and say, oh, let me walk you through this again, let me show you the path again, that path of righteousness. The path of wisdom, that could include that. Of course, it could include some of the things that we testified about tonight, that we shouldn't take what we have for granted, the healing and the restoration that God gives us if we get that wisdom, if we get that understanding. And if we can get it, the Bible says to hold on to it. It says don't forget it. So if it's possible to get it, it's also possible to let go of it, to lose it, not to lose your salvation, not to lose the things that Jesus has promised us, but to let go of the truth, to say, I don't believe it anymore, or to say, it's not what it was in my life, to lose hope in, if we're not careful. Not the same thing, but if a person that has lost hope isn't going to share it with anybody else, a person that has lost their grounding and standing isn't going to say, hey, you know what happened in my church today? I want to tell you what things God is doing. That person doesn't share the truth because they've let go of it, as the Bible talks about. Hold on to it. If you get it, don't let go of it. And if you get it, show somebody else where you got it from. I was thinking about way to illustrate this in this week. Thanksgiving is coming up this week, and I want you to imagine, I don't want you to totally lose me the rest of the time, but think about your perfect Thanksgiving dinner. So you have turkey, dressing, cranberry sauce, whether you make it yourself or you like that sound it makes when you dump it out of the can. Sweet potatoes, pumpkin pie, just go ahead and imagine all the perfect meal that you plan on having. I know some of you mentioned you already had one Thanksgiving dinner. That sounds like something I would do. We like to make our own leftovers because we go to grandma's, so then the next day we like to have the meal again, and we like to have lots of leftovers. But that perfect meal that you have planned and all the things that go into it, and think about all the wisdom and knowledge that's required to get it just right. And then think about some of these crazy people on the day after Thanksgiving that go out and try to get to find the best deal, to find the best value. And you see them on the news, and they're climbing over each other and elbowing and trying to get the perfect spot, trying to get the best value. And then as soon as you get it, you want to tell everybody and come home and tell everybody what you got and how much you paid for it. And all of this you did, you know, without breaking the law. You did this without doing anything wrong. You just got such an awesome deal. You have to share it with everybody. And both of those instances require planning. If you get a good deal and if you have a good meal, it requires some wisdom and instruction to get there. And think about that basic human desire. Whether or not we're good at something, we like to watch somebody that is good at it. If you listen to a musician or watch someone play sports or enjoy a good meal, even if you're not a good cook, you can still appreciate a good meal made by somebody else. Or if you read a book or you listen to somebody that knows more about a subject than you do, that idea of being around somebody that knows something and letting a little bit of it rub off on you. And the idea of wisdom, understanding, instruction, getting it all together in the right ingredients, the right picture, the right everything lines up, so you get the deal, or you get what you set out to get. You grabbed hold of it and you got it. Take fast hold of her. Let her not go. Keep her. Exalt her. Embrace her, for she is thy life. That's what the Bible talks about: wisdom, understanding, instruction, in Proverbs chapter 4. So I have 4 points tonight in my little outline. And with all thy getting, get understanding, get wisdom, get instruction. Understanding so you can share it with somebody else. Understanding, instruction so you can instruct someone else. So you can shoot for and lead someone down the path of understanding, wisdom, instruction. Our salvation, our church family, what we have here, what we share, the passion that God gives us. It shouldn't, I always joke about when pastor leads singing, it shouldn't just be one or two crazy people screaming and excited. It could be all of us. We all could have that excitement and share it with others. It might not come across in the same way. We might not all say it the same way or sing it the same way, but we can say, hey, you know, there's something happening because of what God has done. I want to share it with you. So the first one I put down is ask for it. Ask for it. Solomon asked God for wisdom in 2 Chronicles. He said, Thou hast showed great mercy unto David my father, and hast made me to reign in his stead. Now let thy promise unto David my father be established, for thou hast made me king over a people like the dust of the earth in multitude. Give me now wisdom and knowledge, that I may go out and come in before this people. For who can judge this thy people that is so great? Solomon said, the responsibility that I've been given is bigger than me. And because I am responsible for these people and my wisdom is not enough, Solomon asked God to give him wisdom. And God gave him the wisdom. He asked for it. He was not afraid to ask for it. Jesus told us to ask in Matthew 7. Ask, it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. I know it's a simple concept, but if you're ever talking to someone, if you've ever looked at someone and thought, there's nothing that I know that I could teach them, and it comes to pass that they learn something from you. And you think, I can't believe that person just learned something from me. Or the other way around, you might look at somebody and say, there's nothing that person can teach me. And then they sit down with you and they tell you something. And you realize that just by asking and just by seeking, that you realize you learned something that you did not know. And Jesus commanded us to ask things from God, to ask things from each other. He talked about the man that wanted to feed his company, and he went and knocked on his neighbor's door, and his importunity, he said, I'm not going to stop asking until I get. And Jesus told us to ask for the things that we need. In the book of James, James told us to ask. He said, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. It's a simple concept, but many times we're afraid to ask. Many times we know somebody that might know the answer, and we're afraid to say, hey, can you help me out? I really don't know what I'm doing. And we fail to ask. In this case, we know one person. We know Jesus Christ. We know God the Father has the answers that we need. And many times we won't ask him for help until we're desperate, until we have nowhere else to turn, even though he has had the answer all along. Number two, I put down allow for it. In Matthew 17, the disciples were bothered that they couldn't heal somebody. The man came to Jesus and said, your disciples couldn't help my son. And Jesus healed him, and he rebuked the devil that was in him. And the disciple says, why could we not cast him out? And Jesus said, because of your unbelief. For verily I say unto you, if ye have faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. Jesus said, if you have a plan, if you see a mountain and you see a place where it needs to go, allow for that to happen. He said, this kind goeth not out, but by prayer and fasting. And he said to his disciples, there are going to be plenty of good things that you might have to set aside for so you can ask and prepare for something better. He was talking about fasting and prayer by petitioning to God and saying, I'm going to go without something for a little while so I can get what I need from God, and say, there's a mountain, there's where it needs to be, and I need to fast and pray until I can get it to where it needs to be. Reserve a time and a place. Jesus, again, in Matthew 6, he talked about a closet where you go to pray. He said, when you pray, go in your closet. And he was just talking about have a place where you meet with God. Have a time where you go, a place that you go, where you've made an allowance so you can ask for what you need, for what you need to accomplish, what God wants you to accomplish. Enter in thy closet, when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father, which is in secret, and thy Father, which seeth in secret, shall reward thee openly. So ask for it. If you need instruction, if you need wisdom, the best thing you do is ask somebody that knows what they're doing and ask for help. The best thing you do is ask the Heavenly Father for help. Allow for it. Make a place. Say, I'm going to get what I need, and this is where I'm going to put it. I'm going to go stand in line for 5 hours. I'm going to get it, and when I get home, this is where it goes. And prepare a place for when God allows you to know something, to see something through, to teach someone else, make an allowance for where it's going to fit in your life. Say, it's not enough just to receive the knowledge of the Word of God. I need a time and a place to read it. I need a time and a place to seek God's face. I need a time and a place to instruct my children and my grandchildren. I want the wisdom. Now, what am I going to do with it when I get it? I need a time and a place to share it with others. Ask for it. Allow for it. Be aware of it. I heard over and over again, everyone knows something that I don't know. I know there's a lot of people that know something I don't know. It's my job to work to find out what it is and to learn that. And if we're not careful, we'll say, well, I'm not aware of the people around me that know what I don't know. We won't look out for them. Don't refuse the wisdom when it comes in the wrong package. In the Bible, the way of escape, when the Bible talks about temptation or testing, when God wants to give us a way to avoid testing, he provides it within the testing. And the Bible says in 1 Corinthians, the temptation taken you, but there is no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. God is faithful, will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will, with the temptation, also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it. So if we want the escape, we have to go through the testing. Or the Bible says there that we have to go through the temptation, the testing, to find the way of escape, the testing that God allows in our life. It comes as a package deal. You don't get one without the other. You don't get the escape plan without going through the time of testing. The success and rest comes by way of frustration and hard work. The Bible says in Psalms, they that sow in tears shall reap in joy. Edison said, opportunity is missed by most people because it is dressed in overalls and looks like work. And a lot of times we say, well, I want the opportunity, I want the success, but I don't really want to work for it. I don't want to go through all the frustration and the hassle. I just want the end product. And we don't take the package, so we don't get the blessing. The songwriter said, he whose heart, speaking of God, he whose heart is kind beyond all measure gives unto each day what he deems best. Lovingly, it's part of pain and pleasure, mingling toil with peace and rest. It comes together. It's a package deal. You don't get the peace unless you go through the strife, through the toil. Jesus said in the Beatitudes, the blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. The blessing and the kingdom of heaven is a package deal. It comes with being persecuted. It comes with being reviled and persecuted. And when men say evil against you, it's a package. If you want the blessing and you want the kingdom of heaven, then the persecution is part of the package. And sometimes if we're not aware of it, we refuse the wisdom. We refuse the instruction because we don't like the packaging. We don't like what it comes in. We don't like what it's bundled together with. And if we're not careful, we won't be aware of it. We won't ask for it. We won't allow for it in our life. If it ever did come, we wouldn't have room for it. And we're not aware of it when God's already placed it in our life. And again, I already said, but God put people in your life to teach you things. And if we're not careful, we'll wait till it's too late to learn from them. We're looking into expanding our memorial plaque, the people that have passed away. And we never thought we'd get to this day. We're almost out of slots on that plaque back there. We need another one. And I looked at some of those names, men and women that I have known, and I thought, I hope I didn't overlook learning from them while they were here. I hope there wasn't an opportunity to learn from them, and either I was too shy to ask, or I was too proud to know that they knew something I needed to know. Many names on that plaque taught me a lot of lessons in life, and if we weren't careful when they were here with us, we missed it. We missed the person and the teacher that God had placed in our life. So ask for it. Allow for it. Be aware of the people that God has placed around you. And then the last one I put was apply it. Use it. In junior church, it seems like for a very long time we've been talking about Moses. And just now we're getting to the end of Moses' life in the last few chapters of Deuteronomy when he was, God had told him you're going to die. God had told him you're not going to get to take the people into the promised land. And God had told him who the next guy was going to be. And Moses, with all this knowledge that only came from God, he said, gather all the people together. And this is what we talked about this morning. He said, gather the people together, men and women and children, and thy stranger that is within thy gates, that they may hear and that they may learn and fear the Lord your God and observe to do all the words of this law, and that their children which have not known anything may hear and learn to fear the Lord your God as long as you live in the land whither you go over Jordan to possess it. Moses said, you're not yet crossed over Jordan. You're not yet to the promised land, and I'm not going to be the one to lead you there. But make sure you tell your people, the men and the women and the children, make sure you tell the ones that have never known anything that they may hear. In the Bible, Elijah taught Elisha. Moses taught Joshua. Jesus taught his disciples. Paul taught Timothy and Titus, as we've been studying on Wednesday night. There was always an instructor, and there was always a learner, a student. And Moses said, I'm not going to get to see everything that I told everybody we get to go because of things that had happened. I'm not going to get to see that come, but I got to pass on what I do know. I got to pass it on to the next generation. And we have to be aware of that, and we have to let someone instruct us. We have to use it. We have to apply it. I was thinking about my own kids. I am always surprised at how kids don't know anything. Like, it always just occurs to me, why don't you already know this already? Well, the answer is because no one has taught them yet. The kids don't come pre-programmed, and you have to tell them what's going on. And you always take it for granted. And I know I'm getting old now because we'll start to talk about things that happened when Chantel and I first started dating. It was so long ago, and no one knows what we're talking about because we're beyond that generation. They have not heard. They don't understand everything from the 90s and, you know, the early aughts. But that part of I have to teach them if I want them to understand what I'm talking about. And all throughout the Bible, there were teachers and students and men and women that taught other men and women because they said, I don't want it to stop in my generation. I don't want this generation to be the one that doesn't get it passed on to the next. And Paul told Timothy, I think somebody testified about it tonight, but he said that there will come a time when men will not endure sound doctrine. They will have lust they shall heap to themselves, teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. And I think that time is whenever the previous generation just finally gives up and says, you know what, I'm not teaching the kids that don't know any better. I'm not going to tell them any different. The ones that have not yet heard, they're not going to hear it from me. The sinners out there that can't be taught, I'm not going to teach them. And that time is coming. There will be a time when we just tell people what they want to hear, just keep everybody comfortable, and listen to fables, listen to lies. If Paul warned Timothy, I think for the large part, we get to decide when that time is. We get to, as much as within our power, continue to teach and continue to turn people to the truth, the understanding, the wisdom, the instruction, the word of God. Do we desire truth? Do we want it for ourselves? Do we cling to it? Do we embrace it? As it says in Proverbs 4, do we hold on to it and not let go of it? Let's not settle for a substitute or let go of the truth. If you sit down to dinner Thursday and you are used to a real turkey and real sweet potatoes and real pumpkin pie, and someone has prepared a tofurkey and a fake pumpkin pie and substituted everything in your meal, hopefully you will have some righteous indignation and rise up and say, I will not stand for this, and you will not accept a substitute on Thanksgiving. And the same thing should be true for the truth of God's word, for the wisdom and instruction that we've been given. Don't accept a substitute. Don't accept a fable. Say, no, I want the truth, because you tell me the truth, because I have someone coming after me that needs to hear the truth also. Ask for it. Allow for it. Be aware of it. If God has already placed it in your life, say, am I missing it? Is my teacher here in my midst? Are they here ready to teach and I'm not ready yet to listen? Allow for it, be aware of it, apply it, use it. God made his truth to be applied. He made it to stick to something. He made it to stick to our hearts. He made it to pass on to someone else. That's the way he designed it. He designed it so we'd be passionate enough about it to say, hey, can I share something with you? If I'm not comfortable sharing it with you, will you at least come with me to a place where you can hear about it? That's the kind of wisdom that God gave us. That's the kind of instruction that God gave us to pass on to those around us, to our children, to those that follow after us who really have not known anything. They don't know anything until they hear it from us. Are you asking for it? Are you allowing for it? Are you aware of it? Have you applied it to your own life? Are you ready? Are you trying to apply it to somebody else? Are you trying to pass it on to somebody else? Who is your instructor, and who are you instructing in correction, in understanding, in wisdom? Are you holding on to it, or are you starting to let go a little bit? Don't accept a substitute, and that's what I wanted to leave you with tonight. Ask for it, allow for it, be aware of it, and apply it to your life. Let's have a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for tonight. Thank you for each one that's here. Thank you for the examples around me, for those that have passed on, for those that have come through my life, and I've met them, and they've taught me something. Thank you for any that you've allowed me to teach a little something from your word, from the experience, from the mistakes I've made, Lord. Even when we stumble and fall, the experiences that you give us where we can teach someone else to not make the same mistakes. Thank you so much for this church, for our family. Again, Lord, help us not take it for granted. Thank you for this time, season of Thanksgiving. Help us to share our love for our church, for our Savior, with those around us, with those that have not heard. Help us to do that tonight. Thank you for each part of the service. Bless the invitation and all that goes on. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.